WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latte from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we haven't talked yet on this show about the Chick-fil-A controversy. So it turns out that we enter the conversation on the day after the competing events at the fast food chain, Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, by people who support the owner's right to denounce gay marriage, and National Same-Sex Kiss Day, where gay couples were encouraged to take a photo of themselves sharing a peck in the Chick-fil-A franchise of their choice. Now, here's the soundbite that launched the Million Chicken Wing March. It's Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Caffey on a conservative Christian radio show.
I think we're inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fist at him and say, you know, we know better than you as to what constitutes a marriage. And I pray God's mercy on our generation that has such a prideful, arrogant attitude to think that we would the audacity to try to redefine what marriage is all about.
So after Caffey said that on the radio and said something similar to a Baptist newspaper, politicians, including New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, started talking back.
We cannot support or patronize corporations that are led by individuals who would invest our money in homophobic or discriminatory endeavors.
Quinn's suggestion that businesses that espouse discriminatory views maybe shouldn't be in the city has caused a backlash, flipping the issue from Dan Caffey's intolerance to a First Amendment question of whether government should be in the business of pressuring businesses to leave town based on their political or religious views. So listeners, where do you come down on this? Have you been following the Chick-fil-A story? Do you only get all bothered about Chick-fil-A's free speech rights if you disapprove of homosexuality? Or do others think Quinn was wrong here too? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And with us to talk about this with you is Stephen Thrasher, Village Voice staff writer. On Friday, the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association will be naming him the 2012 Journalist of the Year. So, Stephen, as a frequent guest on this show, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate it.
And welcome back. So the growing consensus here seems to be that the speech rights issue trumps the gay rights issue in this case. What do you think?
It's a really complicated thing to unpack. I've been thinking about this a lot, and we have a great writer, John Sirico, at the Village Voice, who is currently an NYU student, who's been covering how this controversy has come out of the only Chick-fil-A in New York City, which is in an NYU dorm.
Of all places.
Yes. but I've been thinking about it a lot in terms of what it does mean as a free speech issue versus something that you would just do yourself. It does cross the line a little bit when political leaders get involved who are elected officials. I wrote a piece called "Does Gay Inc. Believe in Free Speech?" a couple months ago, and I largely talked about free speech issues within gay organization and how those agendas are shaped by organizations and by the donors with those organizations. And a lot of feedback I got about that was that it's not as much a speech issue when you're talking about donors or what people can or cannot say in an organization, but it is a very different thing when you have elected officials coming in and saying, you know, we think that you can only think this way or act that way. And I often like to think about politicians like Christine Quinn in terms of, you know, what is it that they can actually do from their position? And with something like Chick-fil-A, I mean, it's not the most relevant thing to whether or not we're going to have same-sex marriage in this country, but it is obviously, if you look at Twitter or any number of social platforms, this is where the fight is happening today. People have really organized themselves around this fight, and so you'll see that Christine Quinn will weigh in and say that she doesn't think Chick-fil-A should be able to build in the city, and if that's what the owner is choosing to give his money towards, simply as a matter of belief, not that he's denying gay people the right to eat in the restaurant or anything like that, that can be sort of complicated. But at the same time, you'll see that Quinn has any number of levers at her disposal to do things about same-sex rights and rights for people that she's not taking advantage of. She has a very watered-down living wage bill. She won't let the sick paid leave bill come to a vote in the city council, even though it has a veto-proof majority. And those are things that would also affect LGBT people. But those sort of substantial things which overlap with labor and LGBT stuff doesn't come up, and those are tools she could use. And yet at the same time, she's kind of going into this one area about one person's thoughts that is not going to ultimately change the course of gay marriage in the country.
Let's take our first phone call. Anderson in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Anderson, thanks for calling.
Yes, hi. I want to comment the fact that I find just amazing how politicians react so quickly to situations without, thinking about what they're going to say and what is the problem here, how can we deal with this in a positive way. And they jump into comments over and over and over, and then later they have to retract and say, oh, I didn't mean this way, this is not what I meant. This shows to me that the lack of judgment a lot of politicians have when it comes to dealing with something very sensitive. Chick-fil-A should not be banned to do business anywhere as long as they are following the labor law, the permits, and everything. And the Christy Quinn could have done something much better about approaching the company to try to change at least the way, you know, they...
Well, she's not going to change Dan Cathy's attitude about gay marriage. And she tried to qualify, and Anderson, to your point about how politicians then have to backtrack, she then tried to clarify that she was speaking only as a private citizen, that in her opinion, she doesn't like the idea of businesses that are owned by people with these intolerant attitudes being here. Not that she would ever try to pass a law as city council speaker, or if she becomes mayor, to actually ban them from the city. Does that satisfy you?
Yeah, it does. And I forgive me for not know that she actually made that comment, but I just like to see, better. A better conversation between both sides, I guess.
I understand.
A bit understanding, I guess.
Thank you very much.
Brian, can I jump in with one thing?
Stephen, go ahead.
I mean, Quinn's office did send, I'm trying to look at it right now on the internet, and it's a little slow loading, but she did send this letter on council letterhead to John Sexton adding this. So this is, I think it's a bit disingenuous.
The president of NYU.
Right, asking him to try to evict Chick-fil-A. So it would be disingenuous, I think, for her to say that she's only saying this as a private citizen.
Oh, she did? Explain that. She actually sent a letter to the president of NYU asking him to evict Chick-fil-A from its only location in New York City?
Yeah, I'm looking at, it's the Observer's letter, and they have a scrib document. Yeah, it's a letter from her on city council letterhead to John Sexton asking him to sever your relationship with the Chick-fil-A establishment that exists on your campus.
So she really went very far.
Yeah, so that's definitely putting the state in a position of taking an issue on speech, definitely, I think.
Now, you have a story, right? Didn't you try to get a friend of yours who was getting married to sever his relationship with Chick-fil-A?
Well, yeah, it was, I don't want to go into the specifics of the person because this is somebody I have a lot of love and respect for, but it was a situation where this was some time ago, and the point Chick-fil-A figured into the way these two people got together in some capacity. And this was when I had first started hearing about the controversy about their donations. And I reached out to the friend and said, you know, I think it's going to be a little awkward for me to come to it was not an official part of the wedding, but a pre-party that was going to have Chick-fil-A. And I said, you know, this is kind of strange for me as someone who can't get married, as someone who is I'm in a relationship. My boyfriend is European and we can't really be together because he can't live here and I can't get married to him. And I said to this friend, you know, this is kind of strange for me, but they didn't really agree. And they had the event and it felt very, very, I mean, I went to the event and it felt very, very strange to me to both be at an event for a civil procedure I can't take part of, but also to see mm-hmm. it sort of revalidated by being catered by Chick-fil-A. And at the time, though, it was something, there were not many gay people at this event, to my knowledge. And it was something that I thought, well, you know, maybe they don't really know about this. But as time has gone on, and I've seen things in our Facebook feeds, you know, over the past couple of weeks, and there doesn't seem to be much awareness of what this means, I've had back and forth. And my friend's been very gracious and explained very articulately that this is not an endorsement of Chick-fil-A's mm-hmm. politics, that buying Chick-fil-A to them is no more endorsing their political stand on same-sex marriage as a consumer buying products from China would be endorsing communism. But I've seen that this is really where the fight is kind of happening right now. And even though I have, I think, sort of lofty ideas of letting people have their own views and sharing lots of points of view, it was extremely hard for me to accept this and to deal with this as a friend. And I realized that marriage brings up a lot of feelings for people.
Of course. And the difference between you and Christine Quinn or Rahm Emanuel, who said something similar to Quinn in Chicago, is that you're a private individual trying to convince a friend not to have a business at his wedding to which he's invited you that kind of denies your humanity on a certain level. That whereas if a government is going to take that position as grounds for trying to oust a business from the city, then that's seen as a potential First Amendment free speech rights violation. Here's correct. Daniel in Nassau County. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Daniel.
I'm calling because I wanted to bring up the comparison about how, you know, what if Chick-fil-A was actually, you know, saying things against a certain ethnic group or saying that, you know, certain people shouldn't have the same civil rights as others because of their ethnicity. I find it really similar to this situation where they're saying that, you know, somebody can't, you know, have the same rights as everybody else because of their private sexual lives. Of course, hopefully everybody would expect politicians to be against that too.
What would be the appropriate action of a mayor, let's say, in your opinion, Daniel, if a business owner who owned a business in the city went on the radio and said, well, you know, I think Jews are less than human and they're all going to hell?
Well, I think it would be, you know, I would like to hear, you know, the mayor say that that's wrong, that they don't agree with it, but I'm not exactly sure.
They say, I want you to move your business out of my city. And that's,
I mean, what happened when you know, segregation and you know, the civil rights movement was big then, and people were saying that they didn't want, you know, whites and people of color to be doing things together in their community, like, say, a Chick-fil-A business or
right.
something like that.
So, Daniel, Daniel, thank you, and Stephen Thrasher from The Village Voice, what do you think about the analogy?
I think that he's thinking in an interesting way and extrapolating that thought, but I do think there would be a difference if Chick-fil-A was saying we won't serve gay people or we won't employ gay people or things of that matter. That would, I think, be more analogous to what the caller is bringing up. They're not saying that. I mean, they're saying, and of course, if the owner of any establishment says something that's extremely offensive about any group, it would be fine for anyone to say that they don't want to support it. And I think that we should, you know, be having these conversations in Facebook and Twitter and in person with our friends about this. But Chick-fil-A is not saying that in terms of actual discrimination of people for employment or for service. And that would be a different thing. The government could be involved then if Chick-fil-A were violating things that dealt with the interstate commerce or with the ability to regulate business or employment laws, that would be incredibly appropriate for a government official to stand and say, we will not stand for a violation of laws. And, you know, that does bring up, I don't know that much about Chick-fil-A's employment, but we don't have a federal level, you know, non-discrimination policy for LGBT people. You can get fired for being LGBT in more than half the states in this country. So that's an arena where, you know, you can think about it. And if you saw that was a problem with a company like Chick-fil-A, government should deal with it and there should be laws around it. But if it's what someone's actually just saying, the most powerful way to combat that, I think, would be for consumers to engage and to boycott. And even, you know, Christine Quinn could have said off the cuff that she would encourage people not to eat there or that she wouldn't go there because she and her partner are married. I think that would be fine. But it's a very different thing when you say, as the speaker of the city council, that you want to engage in the business aspect of it from the standpoint of being a government official.
And even on this level of urging a boycott, which I gather some people are doing because of the opinion of gay marriage of the Chick-fil-A CEO, that raises a question too, which is, do we want to live in a world where we buy products based on the owner's politics? And I want to play a clip of Mike Huckabee, evangelical, former governor of Arkansas, former presidential candidate, Fox News host, Mike Huckabee, on that particular point.
In America, you don't lose your free speech rights to be a business. There is a risk that some people may say, I don't want to do business with you. Look, I still buy Starbucks coffee, and I'm an Apple computer nerd. And I know what the political opinion is of some of the owners of the company, but I buy their products, not their politics.
What do you think about Huckabee's point there, Steve? Do we want conservatives eating in Chick-fil-A and, you know, liberals eating in Starbucks and only liberals buying Apple computer products and those poor conservatives who get stuck with Microsoft then? But when we say we're for tolerance and integration?
It's tricky to figure this out. I understand why people get hopped up about one issue or another, but I'm pretty sure if you looked at any corporation or any CEO, you would find things that you agreed and you disagreed with what they spent their money on financially. I've been critical of GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, because they'll take on boycotts that I think are sometimes just very overdone. And they had a big campaign, which I wrote about in my last cover story, about standing up for Ellen when JCPenney's was being pressured to fire her. And I just thought that that was not something they needed to spend much capital on. Ellen is an extremely popular figure. She has millions of followers on Twitter. I didn't think this group, 10 Million Moms, which has very few people, was going to convince JCPenney to do anything. And I just didn't really, you know, I think that if you're an organization that's trying to help with LGBT equality, I didn't see how worthwhile it is to organize a boycott for a millionaire who's going to be fined one way or the other. I mean, people have their own conscience about how they spend money on these things, but there are all sorts of, I think if you can settle in on one thing in marriage so much in gay rights will become the trump card above everything else. So when you start talking about JCPenney or you start talking about Starbucks, or you start talking about Chick-fil-A, there are all these other issues of labor and income inequality that just kind of get glossed over, and those do affect LGBT people too.
Good
and it can just be kind of derivative.
Good big picture point. I did kind of like the kiss-in idea, though, which is sort of the opposite of a boycott, that LGBT people should go and share a gay kiss in a Chick-fil-A and take a photo of yourself doing it and post it. Did you like that one?
I did, yeah, and I saw lots of that on Twitter, and people were having a lot of fun with it. It's exciting in a way to see this through social media because we only have the one Chick-fil-A in New York, so it's not something that's really part of our lives so much. But I found from readers and other people in parts of the country that Chick-fil-A is a big part of various communities they're in. So that was a way to engage with people. And I think that's a really important thing, and what's been really difficult for me on this issue and for some people. I've heard from so many friends that they are inclined to unfriend their friend who likes Chick-fil-A or unfriend their friend who doesn't like Chick-fil-A. And I think, I don't say this very often, that's one way I would agree with Mike Huckabee, is that we don't want to simply live in an environment where not only do we shop at one place and liberal conservative shop in different places, but that we will only talk to people who agree exactly like us. And so to have these exchanges and to have people going into the Chick-fil-A's with the kiss-ins and to have the other side as well expressing their viewpoints side by side is actually good, to have people talking to each other and engaging about this in a civil way.
Let's get another caller on. Desiree in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. So the first thing I wanted to say is that I think the meme is completely off on this topic. This is not about free speech. Mr. Cathy and anyone who works for Chick-fil-A is allowed to say whatever they want to say about gay people or anybody else. It's about not asking LGBT people and our allies to give money to a corporation that gives money to entities that oppress us. It's not about free speech. It's not about, like, not buying your coffee at Starbucks if you don't believe in their politics. It's about not buying your coffee at Starbucks if they are contributing money to organizations that are against your equality. Against
right,
your
but
rights.
The reason that the free speech question, Desiree, give me a reaction to this. The reason that the free speech question comes up is because the City Council Speaker of New York, Christine Quinn, wrote a letter to the president of NYU, which has the only Chick-fil-A franchise in the city, and said, we want you to evict them. So then that's the government.
And your entire conversation has been centered around what Christine Quinn said and what the author of the articles from the Village Voice believes. And there's a lot more nuance to this discussion that could have been brought to it if more people had been allowed to speak. I get Christine Quinn should probably not have written that letter on government letterhead. So she did a bad thing. But that doesn't change the real sort of tangible issues that go along with people sort of blindly supporting right. organizations and corporations that literally give money to organizations that want to oppress us.
Except that, Desiree,
talking about her free speech rights or his free speech rights, right. it sort of negates that.
I think the only reason that this broke out as the big public issue that it did, instead of yet another bigot talking about, you know, gay marriage and the way that he's talking about it and other people having a reaction, is because of what Christine Quinn and Rahm Emanuel in Chicago and a couple of other politicians in other cities did that implied government action.
I disagree. Chick-fil-A for years, long before either of them said anything. They just happened to have the mic, and now other people who have more prominence are talking about it.
Desiree, I appreciate your call a lot. Dave in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Thank you. Let me say, first of all, I tend to be more conservative, but with more of a libertarian bent. I disagree with Desiree that this isn't a free speech issue. And I think that what we're really seeing here is that the farther left you go and the farther right you go on the political spectrum, the more they tend to meet in the middle in more of a totalitarian kind of approach that wants to tell people what they can say, what they can do from their particular political bent. If I eat a Chick-fil-A, it doesn't mean that I'm endorsing the positions that the CEO has, whether they give money or whatever, any more than watching a Jane Fonda movie or watching Ellen or dealing with some people that might have other positions that I don't necessarily agree with, and by the way, who will give money to those. It doesn't mean that I'm endorsing that. I think we're adult enough where we can separate a political discussion, which is reasonable, from what we do in our consumer lives. But what's interesting is, if you take a different context, there's plenty of cases where right-wing people want to, you know, create boycotts on movies or actors or other things as well. And I think that extreme is wrong, and this extreme is wrong as well.
But, Dave, where would you enter into a boycott, which is also a completely grown-up way of expressing oneself in a private economy? If they were discriminating in their hiring practices against
Absolutely.
Black people, or, you know, at some point, and everybody draws this line in a different place, you say, no, 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 that company's values are just too disgusting for me to patronize their businesses.
No, I actually think you hit upon a key thing, which is if in their day-to-day business practices and the way that they're dealing with people, it's a discriminatory activity, then I would participate in a boycott. But if we're talking about political contributions of the company itself or individual positions of the people that run the company that are not impacting the day-to-day operations of the company, that's where I would draw the line.
Dave, thank you. But Stephen Thrasher, it is a pretty intellectually setback position to take, right? I mean, let's say people who recently realized that the Koch brothers have all these involvements in New York at Lincoln Center and other kinds of things, you know, that they had for a while, but now more people know who the Koch brothers are and what their role in politics are. So there are people now who all of a sudden don't want to patronize some of these things because they have strong feelings about what the Koch brothers stand for and their impact on politics. They don't have to necessarily be personally discriminating against a group of employees or something like that in order to inspire those feelings.
That's true. And when you want to organize a boycott to an effect, you want to make sure that it's very pointed and that it will have some effect. So, of course, we've seen historical situations where it's very clear. There are lots of times where it's very muddled. You know, it would be extremely difficult. I think the Koch brothers own Georgia Pacific. I mean, it would be really hard to boycott every product that they are a part of. And the Chick-fil-A is where the fight is happening around this issue completely, like I said, in a term of making a point. It's not going to, they're not giving that much money to organizations. It's not going to make that big a deal. But, you know, I understand why consumers want to get together and boycott something, or if they want to do it as a matter of personal conscience, there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think when you're doing it, you want to make sure that it's going to have a point in some way. And for some people, this will make them feel that it is. And for others, it won't. I can see it both ways. I was really surprised in trying to think of something good about Chick-fil-A. I've never had one, and all I know about it is this controversy. But they give all their employees off Sundays, and I mean, they're not paid, but they have the day off, and that's a really huge thing in labor work. I've seen very few places where fast food workers have a guaranteed day that they know that they have off in their scheduling. And when you try to talk to gay organizations about those kinds of things around scheduling, around pay, you know, when HRC will endorse Starbucks or denounce JCPenney, but you can talk to those organizations, you can't really talk to those organizations about their labor practices as well for LGBT people. It's sort of a difficult thing to do. But, you know, here you have Chick-fil-A that isn't an employer that seems to have a little better employment practices in one regard, but then their CEO gives away money to anti-gay groups.
Yeah.
And I think if you dig into any company, you'll see very conflicting things, and it can be difficult as a consumer to say, okay, I support this, but I don't support this, because it's going to conflict a lot.
Well, everybody take a deep breath. We're going to conclude this segment with 20 seconds of the sound from a video that went up on YouTube with John Goodman as Colonel Sanders.
Well, I reckon I'm a bit more progressive than my pals down at Chick-fil-A. Yep, let it be known that Colonel Sanders loves the gays. Hell, I might even be gay.
Hey, Colonel, dinner's almost ready.
Be right there, O'Marion. See?
But then if you watch the whole video, it goes on to show that the colonel really doesn't care about anybody's rights. But, hey, he'll capitalize on a pro-gay customer if Chick-fil-A wants to alienate them. Sure, why not? Obviously, complete fiction. Nobody from the Colonel Sanders Company ever said that. But funny bit online with which we end our conversation about Chick-fil-A. And we thank Stephen Thrasher, Village Voice staff writer. And again, congratulations, because tomorrow the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association will be naming you the 2012 Journalist of the Year. Steve, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And while we're on the religious beat, coming up next, a call in for anyone who attended the Talmud party in the Meadowlands yesterday. What's your favorite passage in the thousands of pages of Jewish wisdom you just finished reading? Seriously, were you there? call us up, 212-433-WNYC.